Good morning, High Rock. Welcome to our daily devotional. Pastor Robert Bloodworth from our Lexington campus is with us today, and we are going to be continuing our look, our walk through Lent. And today we're going to be in Genesis 15, verses 7 through 12, and then a second part, verses 17 and 18. And this is a scene in Abram's life. It's before his name is changed to Abraham. So his name is changed from Abram, which is father, to Abraham, which is great father. He's at this time where he's still waiting upon this great promise. So we're in Genesis 15, where we read.
Okay. Hear the word of the Lord. Then the Lord told him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as your possession. But Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that I will actually possess it? The Lord told him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. So Abram presented all these to him and killed them. Then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. As the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a terrifying darkness came down over him. After the sun went down and darkness fell, Abram saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants, all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, we see here one of the great scenes of Abraham's life, and I've always heard this phrase, you know, to cut a deal with somebody, and always wondered, what does that mean? What does it mean to cut a deal? And I'm told, I don't have independent verification, but I'm told that that phrase, to cut a deal, comes directly from something like this idea of a covenant, that you actually cut a covenant. And we see this literal example here where these animals are split in half, and then the parties who are making this deal would then pass through the halves of the animals, in essence, invoking God's judgment upon them should they break the covenant. If they break the deal, then may the same thing happen to their lives that happened to these animals. May they be broken in the same way that they just broke this deal. But what's interesting here is Abram doesn't pass through the carcasses. He doesn't walk through the middle. He doesn't walk the path. Instead, he descends into sleep. Actually, it says descends into a dreadful darkness, which we can come back to. And then he sees this smoking fire pot and this torch go through the middle rather than Abram having to walk through. And of course, the symbol of a smoke or a cloud and the symbol of the light of the fire would remind the readers, the initial readers especially, of God's presence with the Israelites in the desert, that he was a cloud by day and a fire by night. And these symbols represented that same presence of God. So it was God's own presence passing through these animals, in essence saying, if and when this deal is broken, I will bear the consequences of this broken covenant. Not you, Abram, but I will, which, you know, connects with the idea that we saw yesterday. And of course, this fast forward a few thousand years and we get to Jesus and we get that moment of dreadful darkness where it says that at noon for 3 hours, the sun was darkened. This darkness descended upon the whole land. It's this dreadful darkness, but in both cases, it's God who bears the consequences of the broken covenant. And in a season of Lent like we're in now, where we're focusing on the darkness in our own lives and our own sin and the weight of the broken covenant we have with God, it's important, I think, to look to these reminders. At this point, it's just a foreshadowing, but it's a foreshadowing of how God would take on the consequences of these covenants. So as much as Abram's descending into a dreadful darkness, this great weight is being lifted off his shoulder, because who could ever keep the covenant with God, right? Like, you know, Joshua famously says, you know, as for me and my house, we'll follow the Lord. Yeah, no one really did, right? The whole experience of the Israelites, especially in the desert, shows us that no matter our best intentions, we so often, almost always, fail to keep our word. We fail to stick to our best desires, and we always kind of break covenant, break faith, descend into sin in some way or another. And how can we bear the consequences of that broken covenant? And yet, here we see this relief, even in the midst of darkness, that we don't have to, because God will bear the consequences of that inevitably broken covenant. Robert, I know you have some insights into this passage. I'm curious as to what you see here, and especially about this idea of the darkness that Abram descends into.
Yeah, just maybe in reference to kind of, you know, our own inability to live in a way that would be honoring to God throughout our entire lives, and how God is the one who has to step in and to rescue us. Even as Christians today, I mean, even today, I was like asking and repenting and asking God for forgiveness earlier this day, and just, Lord, this is like the 100th time I've come to you with this. And I just, so Lord is, again, his grace is greater than our weakness. And you see that kind of that evidenced here, as he's the one who kind of, as you mentioned, is the one who's kind of laying himself before. So all of these different things, it's these three animals that we see here, they kind of follow this priestly or Levitical offerings. So like the heifer reminds us of Christ's life, his vigor, his humanhood. The goat is used for special sin offerings. The ram has a special offering for consecration. And then the three, it's interesting that they're 3 years, and kind of reminds us of the length of time of Christ's earthly ministry as well. So, yeah, very interesting that though we get a glimpse here of Abraham's descendants being prepared for suffering, that we see that the people, so the fire or the furnace before they could enter into this land of milk and honey that God had prepared for them to go, that God was symbolically showing them that they would also have to suffer. And so, so as you mentioned, Abraham going into this deep sleep, and that kind of signifying that Abram would be receiving this promise of, it would have to come after, when he was asleep in the Lord. And so, it's very interesting. But I think, can you imagine, though, the death of God? That's basically what God is putting himself in this situation. But we see that here. But ultimately, that does happen, as you referenced, at the cross. And God actually enters into the fabric of our existence and suffers and dies for us. So these promises deeply reflect and foreshadow how Jesus rescues us, has rescued us and conquered over death and the grave, doing what was impossible for us. And so he restored our broken relationship with God and each other through his own suffering, death, and resurrection.
It reminds me, I remember when someone said to me when I was early on in my Christian walk and I was struggling with this idea of grace. And the way this person put it to me is that grace is, it means it's a free gift. You have to remember that it's free to us, but it costs God everything. So we don't pay the price, God does. It's not that it's not cheap grace, right? It's not that it costs nothing. No, it costs everything. It's absolutely precious, but it's free to us, given freely out of love. And, you know, it's wonderful that we don't have to bear the weight of the law, that all these kind of righteous requirements. And yet there's still some sense in which I want to be able to kind of justify myself, to be right with God based on my own efforts, rather than being kind of like Abram is in this case. He's totally helpless. Like he can't even move a muscle. It's like he's under anesthesia. He can't do a single thing to help himself. And to realize that's kind of our condition, is very humbling. At the same time, it's comforting. And I think that kind of gets to the essence of Lent, is that we do want to focus on our sin and the weight of our sin, but not to carry the weight of our sin. To remember, this is always given to God. And you know, every Sunday in the middle of Lent is a mini Easter. Lent does not include the Sundays in the middle. And it's a reminder that even in the midst of our darkness, God is with us. Robert, I feel like, you know, I don't know a lot of your story, but I get this real sense that you have a very deep experience of this kind of understanding of God's grace, of kind of knowing the limits of your own ability and understanding how rich God's grace is to us.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. How much time do you have to kind of go through the lumberyard of issues with me?
I know you have an emblem of your spiritual history above your head on the wall right there.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is the church right here that we have. Yeah. This is Park Street Church. It's a motif. It's spiritual formation ground. And so in many ways, I found myself kind of going in this place of like knowing about Jesus, but not actually knowing and being in relationship. And so in many ways, I think this particular church and congregation represent to me a place where I grew spiritually in knowing and relationship with God, not just knowing about God. And so that's powerful. And I in many ways, it reminded me, this passage that we were studying today, it reminded me how God's blessings were, it may have been here through Abraham, his blessing to Abraham was for the Jewish people, but through Christ, it was a blessing to the entire world. And how we've been going through on Sundays, we've been going and studying the passage in John 4 of Jesus speaking in his interaction with the woman at the well. Just remind me, salvation, it comes through the Jewish people, Jesus told the woman at the well, but it was not only for the Jewish people. It was for you and me. It was for the Gentiles as well. So, yeah, that opportunity to grow in Christ, to know that you're forgiven, to walk and to be in relationship with the Lord, it changes my life. It changes my relationships. Changes my direction and my goals, everything about who I am. And sometimes we may go back and try to do things that we ought not to have done and kind of live the old life that we lived, but God has a higher plan and a bigger purpose for us. And thankfully for that.
What you say reminds me of the move from Romans 7 to Romans 8. In Romans 7, Paul talks all about his struggle with sin and how he can't seem to escape it. And then Romans 8:1 is that, thank God there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Like, we're freed from the consequences of the law, which is exactly what we're talking about here. There's this dreadful darkness that we pass through in order to come out on the other side, where God has paid the cost of our broken relationship and all our sin and everything. And we're acceptable to God because of God, not because of us. In any case, Robert, I'm wondering if you'd be willing to close us in prayer.
I'd be honored to. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for your loving kindness to us, that from the very beginning of time that you knew that we would be in need of a Savior. And so, Lord, all of these things kind of represent in many ways that we've reading here a foreshadow of what's to come, of your plan of salvation that enabled us to be part of, to be considered family, and part of your family, and family with each other. And so, Lord, we ask that as we are here in this Lenten season, that we would be reminded of, Lord, our high calling in you, of the great length that you went, Lord God, to restore that relationship, the broken relationship, enabling us to be considered your children once again. So, Lord, we love you. We give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Robert, thanks for joining us today. And everyone, thanks for being with us here today. I just one final thing is that if you find yourself going through a time of your own dreadful darkness, I hope two things. One, that you'll have some encouragement from today's passage and this devotion to know that God's grace is with us, even though, or maybe even especially in moments like that. At the same time, you don't have to be alone. There is a community of people around you that would love to connect with you. If you want to just reach out to me and send me an email, I can talk with you, or we can connect. I can connect you to somebody else. My email is john@highrock.org, john@highrock.org. With that said, go in peace.